Good morning. Grace and peace to you in the name of our risen Lord Jesus Christ, and welcome to West End United Methodist Church. My name is Will McLean, and I serve with our pastoral team, and we're so grateful you're here with us today in worship. I want to invite you, if you are here with us today in our sanctuary or online, to register your attendance, whether that be in the pew pad or the appropriate link. Also want to let you know ways that you can be involved in the life of our church. This afternoon at 5 o'clock here in the sanctuary, we will be hosting a Tze service of healing prayer. You need not be familiar with the liturgy of Tze to come and be with us in worship. You can worship with us here in the sanctuary, or you can worship with us with that same offering online. Also want to invite you after worship today to go into Reed Hall and to meet two of our campus ministries who we are partnering with this month with our September communion offering. Representatives from Vanderbilt and Fisk Wesley are there, and that's a great means of connection to understand how the giving of our church is animating life in Christ within our city. So I invite you right after church to go and to meet those representatives. If you are a university student here at one of our local universities, also want to invite you after worship to come to Chat and Chew, which is a fun time of fellowship, just grabbing lunch together and sharing stories. You'll meet Pastor Amy in the narthex right after worship, and she'll guide you to the Chat and Chew. I want to remind us that this is the last weekend for signing up for the church retreat. We only have a couple of rooms left, so if you are on the fence and leaning toward going, this is my gentle nudge to say, move off the fence and just sign up and take a chance. So we're going to close sign up at the beginning of this week. We have, like I said, just a couple rooms left to fill. And for those of you who are planning to be here in 2 weeks in Nashville, we're grateful that we have retired ministers and other members of our staff who will be leading the worship here while most of our pastoral team is going to be at Beersheba Assembly. Next Sunday is going to be a delightful Sunday as our children will lead us in the worship of God with creativity and delight. It's our children's Sabbath. And so in both the 8:45 and the 11 o'clock services, our children will lead us in song and worship and the liturgy, and we can't wait to see how God will speak in and through them. Finally, God is moving us to be a community that is more accessible for all people, and part of that accessibility is becoming a community where we regularly have service dogs who are walking around the sanctuary and guiding people. And so those dogs are working, and though they be cute and cuddly, just want to remind you not to call those dogs by name or try and pet them. Today, we are continuing our short series on the book of James as we discern together what it means to practically live out the way of Jesus. And as we prepare to worship God, might the Holy Spirit center us in spirit and in truth.
Would you please join me with the call to worship as printed in your bulletin? This is the day that the Lord has made. Come, taste, and see that the Lord is good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Trusting that God's love is unconditional and God's mercy is everlasting, let us make our confession with the confidence of the children of God. Most merciful God, you have given us the roadmap to love and communion, yet too often our words become weapons that degrade, disparage, and dismiss. Forgive us for our poor stewardship of words and the distance we create between ourselves, each other, and you. By your Spirit, guide us and those we encounter toward your unending love. And now, O God, we offer our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven.
Glory to God. Amen. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you.
Thank you.
Join me in the prayer for illumination found in your bulletin. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the New Testament, the book of James, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. If you'd like to read along, please turn to page 981 in your pew Bible. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers and sisters, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For all of us make many mistakes. Anyone who makes no mistakes in speaking is perfect, able to keep the whole body in check with a bridle. If we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we guide their whole bodies. Or look at ships. Though they are so large that it takes strong winds to drive them, and yet they are guided by a very small rudder wherever the will of the pilot leads. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great exploits. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire, and the tongue is a fire. The tongue is placed among our members as a world of iniquity. It stains the whole body, sets on fire the cycle of nature, and is itself set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by the human species, but no one can tame the tongue, a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it, we bless the Lord and Father, and with it, we curse those who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this ought not to be so. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and brackish water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, yield olives, or a grapevine figs? No more can salt water yield fresh. The word of God for the people of God.
Invite the congregation to be seated, and any kiddos, if you want to come up with me, for a children's moment. And while I'm waiting for you all to come up, I just want to offer a word of thanks for Dr. Matt Phelps and Mr. Andrew Reisinger and our choirs for week after week so beautifully preaching through song. I mean, today I just hope to add a little to the proclamation they have already gifted us with. So just want to offer thanks for our music ministries and how they preach with us week after week. All right. Friends, today we heard a message from the scripture that talks about a great power that you have. It doesn't matter how little you are, this power that you have is ginormous. Is that even a word? Well, it's ginormous. We just made it up. So this power that God has gifted to you, it's the power of your words. And there's this incredible power in words of kindness and blessing, like thank you, or play with me, or I love you. Do you like it when one of your friends says thank you? What about when someone says, would you play with me? Does that make you feel good? Or when your parent or a loved one says, I love you, doesn't it make you feel special? So today, God is sending you all to preach good news, to speak blessing to your classmates, to your teachers, to your friends. And next week, we're going to hear about the amazing things that God has done through your words, because next week, y'all, guess what's going to happen? We're going to have Children's Sabbath. That's right. And you are going to lead us with words. You're going to lead us in the worship. You're going to lead us through song. You're going to lead us in the lectern and our call to worship. You're even going to preach with us. And so you're going to lead us in living into words of blessing. And we can't wait to find out what God has to say through you. But before we get there, let's spend these next 6 days speaking blessing to everybody we see. Would you pray with me? Good and gracious God, might you bless these children, that truly they would be your ambassadors of good news. Help them to speak blessing to their friends, to their classmates, to friends and neighbors, to teachers, to the lonely, to the sick. Might you offer a healing word in and through their joy. All of this we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm going to invite 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds and kindergartners, if you want to go with Pastor Shannon. And I hope that you all have a wonderful time at Children's Church. And those of the rest of us, we have the joyous privilege of wrestling with Brother James. And it's a glorious and good struggle. So I'm going to invite you to pray with me. Good and gracious God, what a gift it is to receive your word. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would loosen my lips to preach good news, and you would open up our hearts to receive it, that truly we might speak as Christ in this world. All of this we ask through him. Amen. I'm a believer that the untold stories of history often teach us the most about who we are called to become today. I want to share one of those stories with you. It was not your ordinary Tuesday. It was the night before the biggest speech of a young John Lewis's life. In the morning, John Lewis would represent the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and the plight and suffering of black people as he spoke as part of the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, that famous movement that created the space for Martin Luther King to give his I Have a Dream speech. The speech that John Lewis had crafted for this occasion, it was violent. It was accusatory. In fact, he went on and he blasted the president and the Congress and Attorney General Bobby Kennedy. He even used the image of General Sherman's March to the Sea when in 1864 the Union Army went from Atlanta to Savannah and destroyed every farm and home and railroad in this total war campaign. He said, so it would be in the movement's destruction of Jim Crow in the South. It was a clear shift in tone for Lewis, a man committed to nonviolence. The tone was more aggressive, more accusatory. In the morning, John Lewis planned to use his words to burn down some bridges. It was an older brother in the movement who helped organize the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom, A. Philip Randolph, who offered the first word to John. He said, "John, we've come this far together in nonviolence. Let us continue together." It was the mentor who called him into this ministry, who helped him discern what it looked like to live the nonviolent way, Martin Luther King Jr., who offered the transformative invitation when he said, "John, this just does not sound like you." This moment, so powerfully remembered in John Meacham's His Truth is Marching On, illustrates how at an inflection point in a person's life on the vast stage of human history, it was two friends speaking words of correction and call that transformed a moment and a movement and a person. There's great power in our words to transform. James is so acutely aware of that power. Remember last week we said that James reads like a report card to an early Christian community. And if that is the case, then this community is struggling in its language arts. James is writing to a community as way of reminder that is scattered, that's in diaspora. This is a part of the story of our faith where our ancestors were struggling with their vulnerability and their tininess amidst the dominating vastness of the Roman Empire. And so in their efforts to find a way, to make a way, they were ending up losing the way of Jesus Christ and the way they were living. And so James uses three images to help convey the power of small things to transform large things. He says, the power of words are like a bit in a horse's mouth that can lead the horse, like a rudder that can steer a ship and can guide a ship even through a storm. It's like the power of a spark to start a forest fire. And I love the Common English Bible translation takes it a step further than what we heard today. It says that words have the power to start a fire that consumes and destroys the circle of life. Words have power to transform. They have the power to end a conversation, to do harm in a relationship that can echo for generations. They have the power to lead a community in false truths and lies. They have the power to lead a community toward death. Words have the power to transform, right? The joy of humor that has the power to interrupt despair with laughter. The release that comes with an honest recognition of harm and forgiveness, undoing generational grudges, the power to lead a community through lament and toward hope, the power to lead someone toward life. Words have the power to transform. The research is not fully in agreement about how many words we use today, but for the average active United States citizen, the guesstimate is around 16,000 words a day. Most of those are filler words or repeat words, and for those of us whose primary language is English, the three most common words we use are these: the article the and be. The, to, and be. I tell the first service that it now all makes sense for why my English teachers so ruthlessly sought to eliminate the passive voice in my writing. No to be. If those are the most common words we use, no to be. I am going to go out on a limb here that I don't think James really cares a whole lot about our general use of words. In fact, I don't think James is really caught up in your occasional use of a bad word. I think the main point we hear in verses 9 and 10 is this. When James writes, "With our tongues, we both bless the Lord and curse human beings made in God's likeness." With our tongues, we both bless the Lord and curse human beings made in God's likeness. Blessing and cursing coming from the same mouth. Brothers and sisters, it ought be this way, ought not be this way. James wants us to see something as small and mundane as our daily use of words within the much larger story of a God who speaks blessing. We heard it in our anthem today, that God creates in the book of Genesis, the first chapter of the Bible, God creates by speaking a word of life, let there be light. And that God looks upon creation every day and God exclaims, it is good. And that the crowning moment of God's creation is when God forms you and me and God seals God's indelible image upon us with that exclamation, supremely good. And when humanity fell into sin and into a cycle of using our words to shame and blame and accuse each other, it was God who called Abram and Sarah to leave everything they knew and to go and be pilgrims and to go from nation to nation speaking blessing. And how when God's people lost their way in this practice, God called forth prophets like Nathan and Isaiah and Esther who spoke a word of truth to power. And in the fullness of time, we celebrate that God's word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. Jesus learned how to speak like any of us, the native tongue of Aramaic for him. We celebrate at the communion table that Jesus used his words to preach good news to the poor and freedom for the captive, to announce God's kingdom and the time when God would save God's people. How on the saving moment of the cross and the life of Christ therein, we witness Jesus experiencing the worst, most dehumanizing words we could muster and receiving them and responding by speaking blessing, saying, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And how 3 days later in his glorious resurrection, Jesus' first words in the upper room to the disciples who abandoned him at greatest time of need, his first words were these, peace be with you. Over and over again in Scripture, we see that though we talk in many tongues, the language of God's people is blessing. Words of comfort, words of call, words of hope, words of encouragement, words of honest recognition of harm, words of confession, words of forgiveness, words of release, words of hard truth spoken with gentle grace, words of clarity amidst chaos, words of blessing. And maybe you too can remember a time in your life where someone spoke a word of blessing over you and it transformed everything. A friend or a mentor who noticed a gift in you and called out that gift in you and it changed your vocational journey. A religious leader who preached good news and reveal the deepest truth of your being as one of God's beloved ones, and so undid years of harm of maybe being in a religious community where you were not hearing that message. A word of hard truth from someone who recognized a pattern in your life that was not helpful, not healing, and that word gave you the encouragement to ask for help, to have the intervention, and maybe even seek sobriety. A word of clarity from a doctor or a medical practitioner that finally gave you a way to live with intention after years of living with an illness. A word of blessing. A word of blessing is any word that leads us to a deeper peace, joy, and well-being. And friends, the deepest truth of the gospel is that you were created from words of blessing spoken over you for the sake of sharing those words with others. And the first person to whom you are called to share those words and to preach good news, it's yourself. I'll never forget a time I had lunch with someone who always seemed to have the right words, not only when he was in a public setting like I am, but even a casual conversation and small talk, he always had the right word. And I want that gift. And I got in his car, and this is the type of person, he's a successful executive leader. And I got in his car, and his whole dashboard was filled with post-it notes. And this is what the post-it notes said. You are not what you produce. You are not your latest failure. You are God's beloved one. In you, God takes great delight. Because you see, it came up over lunch that this person was in an extraordinary, in a season of extraordinary stress. He said that every time he opened up the inbox to his email, it felt like walking into the Hurt Locker with the painful things people were saying. He was in a season where he was living under a cycle of telling himself over and over again, you're not enough, you're a disappointment. As a boss, as an employee, you're a disappointment. As a husband, as a father, as a disciple. And so that dashboard had become his preacher, interrupting cycle of shame and blame with a word of blessing and good news. Maybe your dashboard or your bathroom mirror or your kitchen sink can become a preacher too. Maybe you can fill those spaces with post-it notes, Genesis, God speaking over you, you're supremely good. The promise of Isaiah that even though the waters will pass over you, they will not sweep over you, and you will not be swept up. The promise of Romans 8 that in Christ there is no condemnation, only life, only light, only love. And having learned to practice speaking blessing to ourselves, how then can we share that good news with our friends, with our family members, the people in our homes, in our office spaces, the people with whom we share most of those 16,000 words we say daily? How can we offer interruptive words of gratitude and joy and hope and encouragement? To whom is God calling you to write a letter of thanks? To whom is God calling you to speak a hard truth with gentle grace? Amidst the busyness of life that we all know, how can you slow down and invite a conversation with someone by asking, tell me really, how are you? Not just, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. But how are you? Would you tell me about your life? And as we go a little bit wider and we imagine our life in the city and in the state and in the country, how can we interrupt the cycle of curse with words of blessing? As we engage in the political process this fall and process with neighbors and process with family members after the election at the Thanksgiving tables, where we will all travel to be with loved ones, as we fight fiercely for justice in our city, we would be wise to remember the advice Martin Luther King gave John Lewis, that we would sound like peacemakers and sound like Jesus. For truly, God has given us an incredible power. By God's grace and in the power of the Holy Spirit, may we be a people who are well practiced in using our words to speak blessing. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Acknowledging the great power that words have, I invite you to rise in body or spirit and speak these words, letting them live within you as if we believe them to be true. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to live with respect in creation, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus, crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to our time of prayer, may you be reminded that God hears all of our prayers, whether we speak them aloud or not. And if you would like to share them with the pastoral team to pray throughout this week, please follow the link under Contact Us on our website, or if you are here with us in the sanctuary, there are cards in the pew racks in front of you that can be placed in the offering plates as they are passed. And ask that you would take note of the prayer requests listed in your bulletin and keep these names and situations in your heart throughout the week, praying for the realization of God's presence for each person involved. This morning, we extend sympathy to Amy, George, Henry, Hannah, and Haynes Lynch, who are mourning the death of Amy's mother, Evelyn Larson, who passed away on September 8th in Evansville, Indiana. A private burial will take place in October in Kentucky. The altar flowers today are given in loving memory of Mark Owen by his family, with the inscription and a reminder that God is good all the time, and that all the time God is good. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God, who built us with this incredible ability to communicate and be understood, we sing your praises this morning because you are wonderful and worthy to be praised. You created all that is around us, and we are speechless by the beauty of your creation. God, you are so aware of how our mouths get us in trouble. We are tempted to say things that hurt others, things that do not honor you. Set a guard over our mouths. Thank you for the Holy Spirit, the fire that you have given us, stronger than our tongue. Thank you for the gift of self-control. Let our mouths praise you and bring you glory. Let us speak words of life that build others up. Where there are sick people, let us speak words of healing. Where there are lonely people, let our words be those that provide companionship and love and laughter. Where there are people who are dying, let our words bring comfort and accompaniment. And when there is injustice, give us the right words to say, the truth and love to bring to those in power. Let our words not be words alone, but words that inspire us to action taken this and every day. May we hear and repeat words that bring life, not the words that tear down. May we read the words spoken by Jesus and let them be the guide in our hearts for the way we respond with our hands and our feet. We speak now the words that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. At this time, I'd like to invite up Nick to share in a ministry moment about our faithful giving campaign, and then Nick will call for the offering.
Well, good morning. My name is Nick Dedeker, and I'm honored to represent the Giving Committee today as we formally launch the 2025 annual giving campaign. My wife Connie and I have been members at West End for about 2 years now, and since joining last year, we've found an amazing community. We welcomed and baptized our little girl Grace, who maybe you heard during Pastor Will's sermon, and I've been fortunate to join both the Church Giving Committee and the Finance Committee. This morning, I want to share a little bit about why we participate in the annual Pledged Giving campaign and why I hope you'll join us in that effort this year and every year. For us, it's a way to express our gratitude for all the blessings that we've received and to invest in a community that enriches our lives. Our church is not just a building, it's a family, and it's one that supports us in our faith, challenges us to grow, and helps us reach out in love to the world around us. Whether it's through outreach programs, mission work, or simply being a place of spiritual refuge, West End plays a vital role in our lives and the lives of so many others beyond these walls. Pledged giving is important because it allows us, as the church, to continue its mission with confidence, knowing that there are resources available to serve those in need. The act of filling out a pledge card gives us the information necessary to make informed decisions about the church's financial future. It helps provide the foundation for everything we do, really, from children's ministries to adult education to community outreach and even worship service. It's a commitment that goes beyond Sunday mornings. It's about sustaining the good work that happens here every day. And speaking of the day-to-day good works, we're all aware of the increasing cost of living in Nashville and must remember that our staff face these same issues. Your pledge to the general fund helps us support and invest in our staff, who we're blessed to have such an incredible group of individuals here at West End. And the funds we provide help retain and nurture the talented and dedicated people who work tirelessly to serve us and our entire community. Their leadership and pastoral care really make all the difference, and our giving ensures that they have the support they need to continue their important work. In reading through just a few of the ways our gifts support the church, I'm reminded how fortunate we are to be a part of this wonderful congregation of believers. I give because I believe in the power of the church to make a difference, and I encourage you to consider making a pledge as well. Whether large or small, every contribution helps us build a stronger, more compassionate community rooted in faith and love. How do you do this? I'm so glad you asked. There are a few ways in which you can submit a pledge, and actually everyone this week will receive a pledge card directly mailed to your home address. You can mail that back, or you can bring it with you to church, or you can also visit our website and click on the Give button. Additionally, there's a QR code that's found in the bulletin, and you can use that to also submit your pledge. You can even set up an auto draft online. I really appreciate your time this morning, and thank you for allowing me to share a few words about the importance of this year's annual giving campaign. Let us now gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. Those of you joining us online are invited to give via the options listed on the screen. While here in the sanctuary, we will pass the offering plates down the rows. You may also use the aforementioned QR code. As we all pass the plates down the row to one another, may we remember that God multiplies our gifts in beloved community. Today, may we give with joy to God.
Friends, hear the good news that you were created from words of love and blessing spoken over you to share words of loving blessing. As we go forth into the world this day, might we fill this day with words of comfort, words of call, words of hope, words of encouragement, words of confession, words of release and freedom and forgiveness, words of promise. Might we fill this day with words of loving blessing. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, you are sent. Amen.